Hey everyone, this is Ashley, producer of the OpStars podcast. Today we're bringing you a special episode featuring a live session recorded at OpStars 2023 in San Francisco. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on this session. Quick introductions. My name is Sahil Agrawal. I'm one of the co-founders and CEO of Rattle. We are a process automation company. And this topic is very near and dear to my heart, and that's why we are building the company that we're building. But we have James here today. James has been a customer of Rattle for the last 2.5 years at this stage, and I think it will be far more helpful for you to hear the perspective on the problem from someone who has actually used the product to solve it.
Very good. Thank you, Sahil. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. And once we're done, if you have any questions, I'll be around in the back as well. Maybe a kind of a first expression of this.
Right. Okay, so I'll start with something, which is what we'll talk about today is the problem and not how we solve it. We'll talk about the fundamental problem and the fundamental solution. So, but before we go into that, there are two truths in this economy right now. One is that budgets are tight. For every company that we're trying to sell to, it's just hard. Deals are pushing out of quarter. The deal sizes are low. The deals that were supposed to be $500,000 are 100K or 150K right now. And I think that's just the truth. And second is, not only are budgets are limited for the company that you're selling into, your own internal resources are very limited. You can't hire as many sellers as you used to. You can't have as many ops people that you used to. So that's just the reality that we live in. Well, except if you're an AI or a security company, then congratulations, you are in vogue. But let's talk about how we are all responding. The two ways in which we are responding is either we are trying to increase top of the funnel, where you will buy a sixth sense demand base to increase the number of leads that you're capturing, which is also very hard in this economy because people just aren't buying software. But the second thing, which is the topic of this presentation, is that you're trying to become more efficient. You're trying to do a lot more with the resources that you do have. And resources are your people and the capital that you have. For this talk, we won't talk about increasing top of the funnel, but we'll talk about how do you become efficient. And the way you become efficient is you make everyone follow your process. That's why the topic of today's presentation is turning your process into a power. And we'll talk about how RevOps used to do this before and how modern revenue leaders are doing this today, which is very problem-oriented. Just a quick show of hands, how many people here are in sales? How many in customer success? And how many are system admins or business systems? So what we'll cover in the next 20 minutes is exactly how do you turn your process into a power? And I assure you that you can do this with the existing tech stack. And we'll hear from James about his unbiased opinion on how those solutions have worked. But the key takeaway from this presentation should be that you should be able to go back, turn your process into an actual superpower in less than a day. If we can do that in the next 20 minutes, I think this will be a successful use of everyone's time. So the framework that we follow is DAA. D stands for process documentation. A stands for process automation. And the next A is process adherence. Whenever you want your sellers or your frontline reps to follow a process, this is the framework that you would use. I won't bury the lead. The secret to making this work is this. You have to make your process visual. You have to automate things in real time. And process adherence happens organically in Slack and Teams. As long as you do these three things, your process will work flawlessly. You will have other challenges for sure, building your businesses, but your process will be a superpower. So let's talk about documentation. Let's talk about the previous way we all were doing this. And we still are. This is a typical sales process. How many of you can can resonate with this. Almost all of our sales processes are built in Google Slides, Google Documents. They are in HighSpot. They are in Seismic. The challenge is that you can't apply this to every single deal that you have in a pipeline. You can't apply a static process to every single lead in your pipeline. James, if I ask you, you have been doing this for 20 years. What's your perspective on this process?
Well, I do love Excel. I do love Sheets. They're great for tracking simple things, but to have something that's collaborative, that is timely as well, they're just not settled for that. It's just something that takes too much maintenance.
And how frequently would you update a documentation like this? I know that this is what you were used to 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was daily. It was daily because you have to pull the data. Maybe you can export it from your CRM, but it's still, you have to go and analyze it and roll numbers up and make other assessments that you may not have in your CRM from other systems. So it was a daily effort.
And what happens after this, which is, so you have this is your documentation. Your automation are validation rules in Salesforce.
Don't get me started. We got Salesforce admins here, right? Yeah. Who likes or loves validation rules? It's okay if you don't raise your hand, because I'm not really a fan of them either. I don't think you can VR yourself out of all the processes that you need to execute and the data hygiene that you need to manage. If you get too many, then you're in trouble as well, as I'm sure some of you know. VRs are my friend to a point.
And it's also your sellers will just put bullshit data in because they just want to get through the validation rule. And this is a validation rule from our own instance. And this is your process. This is how you're enforcing your process. And this just doesn't work. It's a bad experience for everyone. And finally, when this does not work, we all have a Clean Your Room dashboard. Who here has not seen something like this? So you went on. So when I say you, like, we all went down the wrong way, which is our processes are documented in a static sheet. We are applying them through validation rules or manager one-on-ones. And then when nothing works, you will create a dashboard and you will email this to your reps daily, weekly, and it still does not work. At the end, what we all do is, James, what happens after this?
Yeah. Well, let's see. You schedule the dashboard to be sent out. People review it, and then they probably forget about it. It's just too much information. It doesn't maybe attach to them directly, and it's not all that actionable. It's very passive.
So that's the problem that we're trying to solve. And what we want to talk about in the next, let's say, 5 or 7 minutes is exactly how do you solve it without buying any new tech, with your existing tech stack. Let's see how modern teams do it. Modern teams make it visual. Modern teams make automation real time, and modern teams push everything into Slack or Teams, not in a dashboard or in an email. The way you make it visual is the same process that we saw earlier, you put it in a visual format. And you can make it visual in a Miro or Figma or Lucid or Whimsical or whatever flowchart platform that you use. It's extremely easy to do. It wouldn't take you more than a couple of hours on taking a process. And you know what happens, James? What happens when you make it visual?
We know that there are certain types of learners out there. I'm a visual learner myself. I think when you see things in a visual format, you can follow the flow a lot better than being in some spreadsheet and just glazes over your eyes, right? So, and you also can see where the gaps are as well. Like, why is this a terminal point in a flowchart when it should continue on, right? So I like the visual aspect of it because it allows me to personally associate what my team needs to do and other teams as well.
And James said it the best, which is, It just works very well. it's just a different way of thinking, is putting it either in a Word document, or would you put it inside of a flowchart system? But once you make it visual, you have to make it real time, which is where automation comes in. Every single node that, let's say if I go back, in the third column, you can see it says if opportunity is stuck in a stage for more than 60 days, notify AE's manager. You have to automate non-compliance right as soon as it happens. Sending a dashboard afterwards is just very complex. James, why do you think people don't automate their sales process?
Well, because it can be difficult because you may not have the right tool or framework for it, or you don't know how to do it. You might need to have buy-in from a bunch of different groups, so it takes a long time, and you have other things you need to take care of.
And in your experience, what happens when you do automate every part?
Oh, well, okay. So when you automate it, it's a manager's, it's a really great situation for the manager, because you're going to relieve them of having to keep checking in, right? And keep on people's butts, so to speak. And also for the reps and for those of the receiving end of the automation, it's a little more tactile to them. They can actually understand why they're getting information to them, or why information is being updated, because there's rules in place. It removes a lot of error too.
And the best part is you can use an existing technology that you have. You can use Zapier or Workato or Salesforce Flows. All it takes is just it's a mindset shift. You have to shift from a mindset of let me just put everything into a Google Doc and my sellers will automatically discover it, versus making it visual, and then whichever parts are important to you, you will automate those again with your existing tech stack. You haven't spent a single cent yet. And the last piece is, which is what we discovered and why we started the company that we started on, is you have to send that in Slack or Teams. Email is so overloaded. All your Salesforce emails, those dashboards that we all love sending to our frontline sellers, if you look at the open rate is less than 7%. Think about compliance. The way to get compliance is you send this in Slack or Teams. These are systems where they already live. The engagement for every single activity in Slack or Teams is more than 70%. It's just a very easy way to get the automation to get the adherence to your process that you want. James, do you want to talk about your experience with moving from email and dashboards to Slack?
It's probably going to mirror a lot of the folks here's opinions. Email is hell because it's not searchable. You have to file it. Maybe you look at it, maybe you don't. Again, it's one of those mostly passive exercises, unless you're the person sending it or you have a direct responsibility to respond to it. I would say that, last 2-3 companies, we lived in Slack, and we used Slack to actually maybe communicate that would support any emails that maybe were initiated, right? But it was not playing second fiddle, so to speak. It was more of a on the toe of the activity. So it's like you had said, Sahil, it's very timely, it's responsive, and you can obviously include a lot of folks and different channels. And I think it's something that allows you to work in the moment. And if you want, you could maybe park one or two tasks aside in Slack, but you're getting everybody's ear at that point. And I think tools that can maximize Slack's presence in your workday are very advantageous.
I wanted to ask everyone, how many people are here on Slack? And I'm assuming the rest are on Microsoft Teams. How many people think Slack is noisy? The same number. So, James, you must be thinking when you were deploying this that my Slack is already noisy. I don't think I ever met a person who thinks I get very few Slacks.
Right.
So how do you think that tension works, which is Slack is already noisy and this might make it more noisy?
Yeah, so my best practice in that is you need to be smart about what you send, right? It's easy to fire off an email and just kind of fire and forget. But with Slack, you're asking someone to take notice and probably respond to it, right? Some action comes out of that. So as administrator, you do want to be smart and not abuse it, right? But at the same time, Rattle's great because there's a workflow engine that you could put around that. And so what you can do today that you couldn't do before with Slack is, we'll only send these out when a certain criteria is met. And that allows you to get trust from your readers and your employees that have to, again, digest that information. And I think that's part of what happens with a lot of these tools is that people lose trust in either the quality or it's very noisy, like you said, and they just want to get onto their task at hand, something that they're going to be held accountable for. And they don't want to be burdened with all the noise. And so, again, I'm come back to be smart, be measured in how you do it. This tool makes it very easy to do so, and you can run analytics on it. And I think that it's an easy button to push.
And I remember you told me one time, which is don't just automate everything. Pick the pieces that really matter, because you are looking at a 70% engagement. But if you bombard them with everything, your engagement will fall in Slack as well. But if you would have noticed in the screenshot, there are buttons in Slack. So if I'm the seller and I get this alert, I can fix the stage or close date right from Slack. I don't even have to leave my workflow. And that is how you get process adherence. That is how you turn your process into a superpower. You make it visual, you automate it, and then you get adherence by sending things in Slack and Teams. That's it, DAA. Documentation, automation, and adherence. You will get the process, the perfect process that you want your teams to follow, which ends up making a static process into a GPS. It will turn a map that they have to remember into turn-by-turn instructions. This is what you do now. You have an opportunity, it's in stage two. These are the 10 questions that you should ask. If you have a renewal, 120 days out, these are the three steps that you take to open the renewal. Now, the common question that we usually get after this is, okay, so what's the benefit? Before I talk about the benefit, I just want to reinforce, it takes less than a day to do all of this. It's very easy, and there is no change management, because your users will get this in the places that they already live and work, which is Slack and Microsoft Teams. James, your experience with building this, is this true? Does this actually take less than a day to build?
Yes, I would say hours. Actually, I can tell you it's like taking a break actually for me, because working with the Rattle interface and the UI and being able to, I know what I'm going to achieve. I'm going to make things a lot more efficient. I'm going to make the sellers and the BDRs and the CS teams more productive. To me, that's kind of like eating candy, because it's a really easy thing to do and I get a lot of benefit and value from it, and the team does as well. So hours wise, it doesn't take long. It's very declarative. You know, it's kind of like button click admin-y. It's very intuitive as well. They have great workflow examples that you can make use of and get started really quickly as well. The no change management part is nice because can get into the weeds here a little bit, but you can actually test a lot of your work, which is nice. So you can say, okay, this is what it looks like. Now I can roll it out. And then literally that's like a 5-minute process. So it's a very efficient use of an administrator's time in building these things out.
And I think all we need is just a shift in thinking that this is just the new way that you can enforce your process. I'm sure that even this will saturate in 5 years. Slack will become the new email. The engagement rate will drop to 7% or 10% in Slack. But till that happens, for the next 5 years, you can get 70% engagement. It's the same thing as TikTok was an extremely popular channel to promote your products for the first 3 years, but now it's saturated. The bottom line benefit is you get more revenue. Think about it. If your team is following the process, obviously you will win more and you will win faster. This will become very apparent after you roll something like that out. There is a reason why you have a process, because you know it works. Now, your top 10% sellers will still won't do it, which is okay. There is a reason why they're a top 10% seller. But the bottom 90%, you get a standardized way of doing things for an entire go-to-market org. You save a lot of time. You save your end user's time, and you save time for your own ops team. Everyone who is in ops knows that you have to spend, 4 hours, 5 hours of just chasing people every week.
Yeah. You end up being runners after people not following your policies, right? Which are generally written in that big spreadsheet.
Yeah. And you save all the time for yourself. And then finally, one of our values is delight is the last mile. Not just completing your work. And you can make a delightful experience for your customers. Because if your processes are being followed, then we know that the customer would have gotten the email from CEO at stage 3. You know that the CSM will have done the proper handoff. And I think, again, everything that you have that we spoke about so far, you don't have to buy any tech stack for that. But when you do start on this journey and you start seeing the benefits is where Rattle would be helpful, which is we are a no-code automation platform where you can do all three aspects of DAA. You do documentation, you do automation, and you do get adherence all from one single platform. And if I leave you with something, this is ultimately what your process can look like, which is giving you real-time feedback as well for are people doing it and how much. And if I click any of those metrics which says 113 records meet this criteria, this will even give me trends for how people are faring against this process. Do I need to remove it or do I need more enablement? James, any closing thoughts on what change happened at Imply when you switched over to the DAA framework?
Yeah, the framework's great. I would say the biggest change, besides improving ARR, also keep in mind, there's another side of the equation. If I do a lot of work with the finance teams and they want to know bottom line, so less hires are needed because you're more efficient. You're spending less on tools because you don't need 5 tools to do one thing. I mean, all that stuff matters as well. But I would say one of the things I've noticed more is that you turn the culture of the company to a more sort of friendly, and you'd make your managers, I mentioned this earlier, make your managers not nags, but they kind of give you a nudge, right? So they're actually helping. And that's what the tool does, is it actually nudges people to do what they need to improve themselves, improve the business and the bottom line versus nagging them. And then that generates turnover and all kinds of other downstream problems.
That's true delight.
Yes.
So hopefully this helps. It feels to me like this is a well-kept secret. And what James and I are trying to do is we're trying to just shout from the rooftops that Slack and Teams will get you the process adherence that you want. You just have to make it visual, automated using Zapier, and in less than a day, you will start seeing the impact happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
The OpStars podcast is brought to you by Lean Data. To find out more about us and our suite of Salesforce native products for marketing, sales, and revenue operations, head to leandata.com and then make sure to search for OpStars in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else that podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss on any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at OpStars and Lean Data, thanks for listening.